This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. American history is filled with the stories of the frontiersmen, but how about the frontiers women? In the early 1800s, at a time when a lot of the adventurers we hear about now were men, a woman named Juliet McGill Kinsey gave up a life of luxury out east to move to an outback town in what would later become Wisconsin. A new book in the Wisconsin Historical Society Press's Badger Biographies series traces Kinsey's life story to inspire a young generation of readers, especially girls. With us now is Kath Crowley Kahn. She's the author of Juliet Kinsey, Frontier Storyteller. Kath, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, so Kath came to Wisconsin at an interesting time. We'll get into some of the details in a bit, but one of the most remarkable things is she really realized it was an interesting time that she needed to tell the story of.
She certainly did. As you mentioned, she grew up in a very privileged household, very cultured, and was on track to become the ideal New England matron woman growing up. But when she was in her early teens, she received a letter from her uncle, who had a couple years earlier come out to what is now Chicago on the frontier, and he would write her these very detailed, very loving letters about his adventures out in the wild country, he would call it. And once she got a sense of what was out there beyond Connecticut, I think she had a taste for adventure.
And so what did she end up doing?
Well, it's very interesting. She did grow up in Connecticut and was schooled at home. Girls did not go to school back in those days, so she was taught by her mother and her uncle. And when she received this letter, she realized there was a little bit more than what was stated for her in New England. And so she went to a girls' finishing school, Miss Willard's in East Troy. And about that time, her uncle came back to Boston for a family visit and brought with him a new friend of his, John Harris Kinsey. Well, the two met, and as the family say, fell instantly in love and then got married. And so he had just taken a job out here in what is now Portage, Wisconsin, as the Indian agent. So she began to accompany him on this very amazing adventure from the East Coast out to Wisconsin.
And this was called, this was Fort Winnebago at the time.
It was Fort Winnebago. It was just constructed. It was probably still being constructed as they made their way over here.
Now, the journey in itself was interesting, but what were her first impressions of, I'll call it Wisconsin, even though it was part of the Northwest Territory at the time. What were the first things that struck her?
Well, you know, you did mention she's coming over on a boat. I don't know if we mentioned that, but this is part of the story. So her trip to Portage in Wisconsin is coming all via waterways. And she ends up towards the end of her trip coming towards Portage on the Fox River. And it swings back and forth, back and forth. And she can see the fort in the distance, but it's taking them forever to get there. So once she gets to Fort Winnebago, she's overjoyed. And she goes up to the fort, which is on a precipice overlooking the river. And she looks down. It's fall color. It's a beautiful scene. There are white tents of the traders and other settlers. There are Indian lodges. There's a lot of activity going across the Portage from the Fox River to the Wisconsin River. And it was a beautiful Eden. She saw it as this beautiful, untouched, wild land. Of course, there was much going on at that time. It was a very interesting time in our country's history, and she was there as an eyewitness to it all.
Now, this is 1830. She saw it as an Eden, and she met people she hadn't thought of much in Connecticut, the Ho-Chunk. What were her first impressions of that?
Well, that's very interesting. She came from Connecticut thinking that she was bringing everyone this giant gift of culture, refined manners, and religion. And she came to this area, met the Ho-Chunk, and embarked upon what she saw as her duty to educate everyone and share her religion and teach them to read. Well, she shortly found out that the Ho-Chunk had a complete belief system of their own and were quite happy with their beliefs and their culture, and she really respected that. So there was not only the physical journey of her moving from the East to the Midwest, but this emotional and intellectual journey as well, where she really learned to respect and value their culture.
We are taking a journey now back to about 18 years before Wisconsin became a state. 1830, our guest is Kath Crowley Kahn, and she's telling the story of Juliet Kinsey. Her new book is Juliet Kinsey, Frontier Storyteller. So Juliet quickly realized that this is a time of change, that that the Ho-Chunk beliefs, the Ho-Chunk people were in for change and not necessarily for the better.
That's true. Today, when we look back at the writings that she wrote, she kept good notes, and she was a fantastic artist, so she would draw pictures of what she was experiencing at the time. And later on in her life, she took those notes and wrote a best-selling book at the time and still in publication, Hua Bun. Well, in the book, she talks about being so outraged at what was happening, and if our culture, if the U.S. government could just realize the impact that it's having, they would change their ways. We don't know whether she felt that way at the actual time, but she certainly came to realize that with a very short period of time, maybe 20, 25 years, the way of life that she encountered when she first came here in 1830 was almost completely obliterated, and she was heartsick about it.
Mm-hmm. What led her to write about it? I mean, that's really the key. That's why we know what we know about her. Did she want to document this change? Was that what was foremost in her mind?
Well, it's funny because she was on her own keeping journals and notes as a proper cultured woman might of that time. But when she married into the Kinsey family, John Kinsey's mother took her aside and said, listen to what I'm saying. I'm going to paraphrase here. Write these things down as I tell you, because our children and maybe even strangers will be interested in the challenges and the delights of frontier life. So it was a family tradition to carry on the stories and document the stories about living on the frontier and their own family stories. And her version is a combination of that and her own experiences, and really represents a uniquely feminine perspective on that historical period in our country.
What was her life like in what is now Portage? What would daily life have been like for Juliet?
Well, you know, it's funny. I was walking here outside, and it's such a beautiful spring day here in Wisconsin. And you think of the frontier life, and, whoa, it'd be great to be out on the in the prairie and walking through woods this time of year, and it probably was. But she actually came here in the fall of 1830 and encountered what meteorologists still call the winter of 1830. It was one of the most severe winters on record. And she would write about the wind coming through the boards in her cabin and freezing the water in the pitcher next to her bed solid in the morning. So it was an experience of really not taking for granted all the comforts that she might have had out east. It was, you had to be very resourceful and resilient. You had to provide for your own food, your own shelter. You had to encounter many different types of people. So you were very much in touch with survival, both in what they would call the settled areas as well as in the frontier and more wilderness areas, which she traveled through as well.
Now, she was here through a big moment in the history of the region, the Black Hawk, what we've called the Black Hawk War since then, anyway. What were her impressions of the Black Hawk War at the time?
Well, you know, it's fascinating because on one hand, she's very sympathetic to what's going on with the cultures, the Native American cultures. On the other hand, she's terrified for her life. And at one point, the scuttlebutt among the frontiersmen is that the warring Indians are moving closer and closer to Fort Winnebago and plan to slaughter everyone there. And so at that point, her husband decides, this is too dangerous. We're shipping everyone out to Fort Howard in Green Bay for safety. And so she was heartbroken about that because she wanted to stay on the frontier and be brave with her husband. She and everyone else was worried about warfare as well as cholera at the time because that was coming from the other direction. So they really were feeling very vulnerable. But when she came back and heard the stories of what really was going on, the battle at Wisconsin Heights, the massacre at Bad Axe, she was heartbroken and wrote in detail about it in her book so that people would know and remember what actually happened.
And something I hadn't known, someone she might have crossed paths with at the fort, Jefferson Davis, later president of the Confederacy.
That's right. Jefferson Davis was at Fort Winnebago. In fact, he was the one who furnished her room. She had to stay at the fort until her house, which is currently up in Portage, was was built. And he was known for being a very creative person and a bit of a cabinet maker architect. And of course, he went on to follow his own path. But it's interesting, in Juliet's life, she also crossed paths with Abraham Lincoln. Hmm. Because when she and her husband were living in Chicago, her husband was very involved with the administration. And she, in fact, many years later, pleaded with Abraham Lincoln to let her send provisions to her daughter who had relocated to Savannah. So he interceded on her behalf. So we've got a very interesting juxtaposition of personalities and people.
Juliet Kinsey told her story after her experiences in the 1830s. Why is it important to you now to tell her story to us?
Well, I think it's important to really understand where we live and the people who are here before us and what they encountered and saw. Juliet Kinsey is a story of someone who comes into a new land not knowing whether she's going to survive, what if they're going to like her, and you know what her reception will be, and comes to it with with pluck, with resolve, with a sensitivity to other people. And I think that's the most important thing, is that don't be afraid to change your mind when you encounter the situation, respect the other people, and learn how to live peacefully with each other.
As we wrap up, she told the facts as she saw them. Do you have a sense of her personality, what she was like?
Boy, I wish I could meet her today. She was a hoot. She was very prim and proper, but had a just wicked sense of humor, and really was interested in people and how they related to each other, and the folly of manners sometimes. Everything that she was taught out east had a real different slant when she was out here on the frontier. So it was a fascinating thing. And her personality, if I can add, was one of the reasons why her daughter's daughter, Juliet Gordon Lowe, who founded the Girl Scouts, started the Girl Scouts to be resilient and resourceful.
That's an amazing story with roots here in Wisconsin. Kath, thank you so much for sharing it with us.
Thank you.
That's Kath Crowley Kahn. She's the author of Juliet Kinsey, Frontier Storyteller.